Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with Trump's latest act of petty vindictiveness in killing two signature programs of Michelle Obama's to educate adolescent girls and the requirement for more nutritious school lunches nationwide to promote health and combat childhood obesity. Marion Nessel, a professor in the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies and Public Health at New York University and author of Food Politics, How the Food Industry Influences Nutrition and Health, and her latest Soda Politics, Taking on Big Soda and Winning, joins us to discuss the announcement by the new Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, that the 32 million American kids who receive federally subsidized meals will now have more calories, fat, and sodium, and less whole grains, fruits, and vegetables in what is served in their school cafeterias. In other words, Donald Trump's favorite food, Big Macs and KFC, will be back. Then we'll speak with Paul Light, a professor of public service and the founding principal investigator of the Global Center for Public Service at New York University. His latest book is Government by Investigation, The President, Congress, and the Search for Answers, 1945 to 2012. He joins us to discuss whether the bipartisan agreement to avoid a government shutdown could be the beginning of the marginalization of President Trump, who is clearly unhappy with the deal and is now calling for a good government shutdown in September. Then finally, we'll look into the possibility that an impeachment of Donald Trump is all but inevitable, as his erratic and intemperate behavior with CBS's John Dickerson is compounded by his spectacular ignorance of American history revealed in Trump's claim that Andrew Jackson could have prevented the Civil War that took place 16 years after his death. Robert Kuttner, the co-founder and co-editor of The American Prospect and author of Debtor's Prison, The Politics of Austerity Versus Possibility, joins us to discuss the growing evidence that the Republican Congress are not afraid of Trump and don't need him anymore. And joining us now is Marion Nessel, who is the Paulette Goddard Professor in the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies, and Public Health, and a professor of sociology at New York University. She was senior nutrition policy advisor in the Department of Health and Human Services and has been a member of the FDA Food Advisory Committee and Science Board, the USDA DHHS Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, and the American Cancer Society committees that issue dietary guidelines for cancer prevention. She's also the author of Eat, Drink, Vote, an illustrated guide to food politics, Food Politics, How the Food Industry Influences Nutrition and Health, and her latest book is Soda Politics, Taking on Big Soda and Winning. Welcome to Background Briefing, Marion Nessel.
Glad to be here.
So I have the impression, perhaps I'm a little bit too partisan here, but I have the impression that Donald Trump's or the Trump administration's killing Michelle Obama's programs, one to educate adolescent girls around the world and the other one to require more nutritious school lunches nationwide to promote health and combat childhood obesity. It strikes me as petty vindictiveness. And we know that this president, everything that Barack Obama has done, he blames all of his problems on Barack Obama, even though he's the president. He's got a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and now a Republican Supreme Court. So am I being unfair here, do you think?
Well, you're being unfair only in one way, and that is that you're not counting the political forces that have opposed Mrs. Obama's enterprises while she was trying to do it. And this is about business. I mean, it's pretty amazing to think that we would look at school lunches and say, oh, let's make them unhealthier. Let's feed our kids more junk food. I mean, if you look at it that way, it's complete. What's being done is completely ridiculous. If you look at it from the standpoint of companies that sell junk foods to schools, they have a huge vested interest in making sure that the school lunch nutrition rules are as easy as possible to meet so that they can produce products that and sell them in schools. That's what this is about. These are business decisions.
So the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, is basically, and this, I think, didn't the Senate, the head, Roberts, the senator from Kansas, he's the head of the Ag Committee, he was pushing for this as well. So this is coming from agribusiness, do you think?
Well, it comes from agribusiness. In this case, it bizarrely also comes from the School Nutrition Association, which is the organization that represents the people, the school food service directors. And their leadership, certainly not the people who are in the schools, because the people who are in the schools are doing fine with Mrs. Obama's regulations. They're producing school lunches, the kids are eating them. There's really very, very little problem in most places. But in schools that have school food service directors that really don't care what kids eat, that don't want to do the extra work that's involved, that don't want to do the extra education, that don't want to cook foods, I mean, there are all kinds of reasons, or that simply don't want to be told what to do. There's those groups of people oppose the regulations very, very strongly. They lobbied in Congress, and now they're getting what they wanted.
So, again, the risk of being unfair. This has nothing to do with President Trump's predilection for Big Macs and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, I don't think he thinks that food is very important, not to mention the Coca-Cola button on his desk. He doesn't think that eating healthfully is something that's important, that should be encouraged for children, that makes any difference in the way that people eat or the way that people live or their lifestyles. After all, he got where he is eating the way he does, so it must be just fine for everybody.
Well, but this is not everybody. This is 32 million American kids who receive federally subsidized meals. So from now on, they'll be having more calories, more fat, more sodium, and less whole grains, fruits, and vegetables.
And chocolate milk. That one came in today. You know, as I said, when I think about it, I think, how could anybody want kids to eat less healthfully? And the only explanation for it is that business interests are at stake. And instead of everybody, this should be a bipartisan issue. Everybody should want kids to eat more healthfully. Everybody should be looking for ways to give kids the best possible meals they possibly could get. Everybody, all kids should have these meals. The meals should be as healthy as possible. Who could possibly be opposed to that? And people are opposed to it because it's going to cost some people money, because some people don't want to bother, and because lots of people don't like being told what to do.
So does this mean then that there isn't a sufficient lobby for healthy foods, for fruit and vegetables?
There's not. I mean, one of the things that we've seen with the Trump administration so far is that if there's enough opposition, particularly opposition expressed, I think, within the White House, then he changes his mind. He completely reverses decisions that he said he'd made months or years or even days before. The fact that they were able to get away with this and that the new Secretary of Agriculture could just come in and do this right off the bat and get away with it means that there has not been enough organized opposition. And I'm hoping that what this will do is to galvanize people who care about food and health and food and the environment to protest as loudly and as long as they can.
Do you think that the daughter, who's supposed to be a Democrat and supposed to be interested in protecting the environment, and she's trying to sort of promote herself as being, I think, more compassionate than her father, or at least a positive influence on her father? What are the possibilities of Ivanka?
Well, I can't speak to Trump. Right. I can't speak to Trump family dynamics because I don't know anything about it.
Right.
But if this was something that she was interested in, presumably she would have acted and prevented this from happening. I mean, these seem like very, very small details, a difference in the amount of whole grain or a difference in the amount of sodium or adding chocolate milk back to the mix. They seem like very, very small matters, but they're not. They will make a difference to the healthfulness of the foods that are being served. Yes, they may be difficult for some of the school food service directors to deal with, but if they're creative, they ought to be able to figure out a way to produce meals that are healthy. There's no reason why healthy food shouldn't taste good. There are plenty of ways to make foods taste good without having to throw in a lot of salt or to add a lot of sugar. And I think the schools ought to be able to do that, and plenty of them are. I mean, what's so sad about this is that the vast majority of schools are managing with these regulations just fine. It's a minority that's not. So in a sense, this is catering to a noisy minority that had a lot of lobbying power.
Well, we have a minority president. I mean, he's three million votes short than Hillary Clinton, and if you add in the 10 million that went for Johnson and Jill Stein, he's very much the minority president.
Well, he certainly knows how to use it.
Right. So the argument then on the conservative side is this is yet another example of the overreaching nanny state. Is that's mm-hmm. pretty much what you said earlier. So then we talked about why isn't there a lobby for healthy food, grains, fruits and vegetables as opposed to a lobby for KFC and Big Macs. Is there a lobby for obese people? I mean, what is it, 60% of the country's obese or overweight, isn't it?
Well, I know there are organizations that represent people who are overweight, particularly concerned about the stigma that's attached to overweight. But the way our government seems to work is that powerful business interests that have lots and lots of money behind them are able to get what they want. This is a government that appears to be very, very interested in corporate health and not nearly so interested in the health of citizens or of the environment for that matter. So even though these school food rules seem very, very small, they're indicative of a much, much larger initiative that's going on. And that's why every single one of them needs to be fought back with data, with votes, with any way that people who care about these issues can make their voices heard, seems to me to be very, very important to do right now.
Well, it seems also that you can extend that notion in terms of national priorities reflected in Trump's budget, not the one that passed to keep the government going, but he's threatening.
But the one that's floating around.
Right. The one that he says back in September, he actually meant October, the good shutdown, which is he wants more money for defense. We know that. He wants to cut out money for diplomacy. He wants to get rid of public radio and public television, which, of course, plays against his constituency that believe him. And he tells everybody else that anything but what he says is fake news. And this is all to save trivial amounts of money, as is indeed the subject we're talking about now, these cuts in the nutrition program. But the priority of defense over everything else, again, seems to be in this category that you were just talking about. In other words, you know, we're all about power, projecting power, killing people, but not about healing people, making them healthy.
Or giving them a lifestyle that's filled with education, culture, and other kinds of things that make life much more pleasant. You know, we'll have to see how this budget plays out. There are things in it that do not reflect what the president had asked for, and it's going to be very interesting to see how Congress handles that. But for anybody who cares about NPR, this week or the national or the arts organizations or any of these things, this just requires a vast effort in advocacy, which, of course, a lot of people really don't know how to do and haven't done and are uncomfortable doing. So I want everybody to get out and run for office.
Well, everybody did get out, at least all the women got out the day after the inauguration, and they probably have a lot of sway, don't they, over what their kids eat?
They would have a lot of sway, but it's one thing to march on Washington, and it's another thing to use your people power to get what you think is the right thing to do. If all those women were sitting in government or sitting in Congress and insisting that what Congress ought to do is to give more money for school lunches, that would solve a lot of problems.
Well, just in closing, how do you do that? I mean, if they're all in the pocket of Kraft and Nestle and agribusiness. What's the counter lobby?
Well, the counter lobby is to, as you vote with your vote.
Mm-hmm.
You throw the bums out.
Mm-hmm.
And you start preparing to do that now and work on it. I mean, if you're dealing with politics, you have to use politics to do it. It's much harder to do with infinitely less resources, but it can be done. And small gains are important gains.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Marion Nestle.
Glad to be here.
And again, I've been speaking with Marion Nestle, who's the Paulette Goddard Professor in the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies and Public Health and Professor of Sociology at New York University. She was a Senior Nutrition Policy Advisor in the Department of Health and Human Services and has been a member of the FDA Food Advisory Committee and the Science Board and the USDA DHHS Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee and the American Cancer Society's committees that issue dietary guidelines for cancer prevention. She's the author of Eat, Drink, Vote, An Illustrated Guide to Food Politics, Food Politics, How the Food Industry Influences Nutrition and Health, and her latest book is Soda Politics, Taking on Big Soda and Winning. We're going to take a brief station break and back looking into whether the bipartisan agreement to avoid a government shutdown could be the beginning of the marginalization of President Trump.